You're listening to The Daily Catch, Long Island's beer and malt update. This is the show that answers the questions, what's brewing on Long Island and where to find it? I'm Donovan Hall, and today I'm joined by Rich Thatcher, and we're going to talk about Crop Circle Ale. So we've got, in addition to Crop Circle Ale, we've got some Long Island beer news, and we're going to take you on a trip to Mugg's Ale House in Brooklyn, and talk a little bit about J.W. Lee's Harvest Ale, 1988. And we'll round out the show with some beer mixology. The Long Island Sunrise, a creation of the host of this show. We'll talk more about that at the end of the show. But first, we're going to focus on Crop Circle Ale. So, we poured some Crop Circle Ale, and we have some here in the studio with us today. And what do you think of it, Rich?
Well, it has a nice, generous, dark red color with a little bit of brown, a little bit of slight head to it.
Yeah.
It has a creamy look to it, almost like a lot of English beers look like this.
Yeah, definitely. And what I'm really impressed with about this beer is the malt character. It's unusual, I think, to have a beer that is this malty and not overly hoppy. I mean, I think in America we tend to have really hoppy ales.
Yeah, well, that certainly can be said of the great ales of like the Six Points and some of the Brooklyn Lagers and the Blue Points, that they're extraordinarily hoppy, and it takes a little while to settle down, whereas this one is uniquely, how would you say, maybe de-hopped?
Right, de-hopped and very focused on the malt. In fact, Rich and I went out to the Shoreline Beverage in Huntington today to meet up with Dudley Cates, the man responsible, the driving force behind this beer. And we you know, what did you think? We hung out with Dudley for a while and chit-chatted with him and met some of the people who are experiencing his beer. So, do you have any impressions on that, Rich?
Well, it was a nice sunny day outside of Shoreline Beverage, and Dudley was trying his best to explain everybody what the beer was like, where he got it from, how he put it together with the help of the Blue Point Brewery. And at the same time, he was also trying to hawk it to the customers that are coming and going outside. He was even walking out of his little designated area and catching people as they were returning empties and things like that, asking if they'd like to try his beer. It was a nice time hanging out with Dudley and trying his beer. He was certainly generous in giving out ample amounts to everybody that would pass by. With very little explanation as to what was really happening.
Right, indeed. So what I'm going to do is I asked Dudley to talk to us today, and I interviewed him for... I'm going to write some articles about this, but I asked him to tell you guys, the listeners of this podcast, about his beer. And this is Dudley talking about his beer. I'm at Shoreline Beverage in Huntington today, where Dudley Cates is... letting people taste his Crop Circle beer, and this is Dudley to say something about the beer.
Hello, beer drinkers of Long Island and the world. We're out here on a beautiful Saturday afternoon at Shoreline Beverage in Huntington. Where is it? Huntington Station?
Huntington.
And yeah, we're doing a tasting here. So if you by the time you hear this, you probably will have missed it, but. I have officially launched a unique amber ale that I call Crop Circle Beer, and the reason I call it that, as some of you might know by now, because it's been out to a limited degree for a while now, the reason I call it that is that I use barley from Crop Circle Fields in the UK. There's certain tracts of land where the phenomenon manifests every year like clockwork, and I work with a farmer that farms several of these fields, and... turns out it's a great feedstock for a beautiful amber ale. So we're out here in the sunshine, welcoming spring, and enjoying ourselves. I'm abstaining because I've got to drive home, but these guys aren't. But I assume there's a driver for them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so...
I came on the train, so...
Donovan came on the train. Okay, I don't believe that, but... I'm just kidding. So ask your local Home D to... Please carry Crop Circle Beer in 4-packs. $6.99 4-packs. We really feature the malt taste in this beer. It's a lot less hoppy than most of the ambers out there. And I'm trying to start a trend back towards a little bit of a maltier beer. So I guess I'll see what people think. Yeah. So anyway, hope to hear some positive feedback from everybody, and hope you start drinking Crop Circle beer, because it's good.
Well, the $6.99 out at Shoreline Beverage is actually a really good price. Out here on the North Shore, if you go to Village Beverage or Swiftway down in Medford, you're going to be paying close to $8.99 a four-pack, but it's well worth it, I think, to experience this this beer. It's a good beer. Do you have anything to add there, Rich? I mean, we've been drinking it while we're listening to this this segment. Is it developing for you?
Yeah. Well, it has a great taste to it. It's, this would be great sitting down in front of sitting down in front of the television with a bunch of friends, eating Heroes, knocking back a couple of these beers.
Indeed.
Has a great coffee, malty, a little bit of chocolate taste to it. Things like that. It doesn't make your doesn't make you smack like that.
Right.
Where you know, not fearing the hotness of any alcohol, and it's, what do you say the alcohol content was?
The alcohol content is 6.7% ABV.
You can't taste that in here.
No. It's one of those beers that sneaks up on you.
And I guess my reply was that to Dudley, I said, "How do you like it?" And I said, "Well, where can we get a half barrel?"
That's right. This is one of those beers where you want to drink more of it, and it does catch up with you after a while. I do have another segment. It's an interview with the maltster over in England. The beer is made from malt that comes from fields in England where actual crop circles have been observed, manifested in these fields over in England. And this is an interview with one of the maltsters that was conducted 2 years ago with the host of a show. The host was Barbara Budd. She interviewed the maltster for Canadian Broadcasting Company, and this is it here.
Question: what do crop circles and a cool glass of beer have in common? If you answered a field of grain, you can take a good long sip. No one knows what causes the odd and intricate formations that show up deep in the English countryside. Speculation ranges from magnetic fields to extraterrestrial graffiti, but they do attract attention and carry an aura of mystery. Now a California company hopes to capitalize on that. It's planning to market a brand of Crop Circle beer. Beer made exclusively with barley malted from fields marked by authentic crop circles. Chris Garrett has just dispatched the first shipment of Crop Circle maltings. He's the chief malter at Warminster Maltings. We reached him at his home in Codford, Wiltshire.
Mr. Garrett, hello.
Hello there.
How are you?
Very well indeed, thank you.
Good. Do you have a lot of crop circles in your neck of the woods?
Well, we are in something of a well-known area for these phenomena, and particularly in the early summer, we, for whatever reason, do appear to have a number of them appearing.
And whose idea was it to make Crop Circle beer?
Well, it came from an idea from a brewer that visited one of these fields fairly near our maltings plant. And after he spoke to the farmer,
yeah,
who had these fields of crop circles, they put together an idea that if they were able to turn that grain into malt, then they could indeed make beer.
So you think this is just a great sales gimmick, or do you think the barley will taste any different?
Well, it's certainly different in that because our claim to fame is the fact that 100% of the grain that went to make this beer is entirely from this crop circle. So, therefore, it's different for that reason. Now, whether it in fact causes any special effects after you've drunk the beer, we're yet to discover that.
Like traveling in outer space?
Well, or all sorts of things could well be possible, and I can't wait to try my first bottle.
Have you made beer before from crop circles?
We never have, actually. This is very much a first, and probably the first in the world, I would say. But we have never actually taken produce from these patterns and crop circles before. So for that reason, it was very exciting to get involved in this project.
What's your theory about what causes them?
Well, that's an interesting one. I have not really previously taken that much notice of them, but having now done a little bit of studying, it can be seen that some of them are such fantastic, intricate designs. It's really mind-boggling as to know how or who or what could possibly create these things.
What do you mean, intricate designs?
Some of them are fantastically interwoven shapes, and some of them are almost hieroglyphic in their patterns. Of course, are absolutely enormous. One of the particular crop circles from which this grain came from was something like 70 feet in length.
Huh. Now, if this takes off as an idea and becomes popular...
Yep.
Do you have enough crop circles to sustain the business?
Well, that's an interesting one. Who knows whether we will have crop circles again this coming year. But because we could not be sure, we made sure that we kept as much grain in stock as we possibly could from the last harvest, and the venture is very new, so there certainly is sufficient to keep the brewery going for the first year. Then, of course, if we don't have any further crop circles, we could perhaps look to replant some of that original grain, so at least the originality of the original stock could continue.
But you have the possibility, I suppose, of fake crop circles.
Well, I'm not too sure.
Cropping up, too.
Yeah. Well, there have been all sorts of theories about how these designs are achieved, and I guess the proof would be whether, after having drunk one or two bottles of the finished product, whether it would in fact be possible to create such intricate designs. But that's something we yet to see.
you won't worry too much about a police force authenticating crop circles.
Well, I think my address will be guarded, obviously, for the forthcoming summer, and I don't think I could be seen out in the crops after dark, but... the interesting thing, to my knowledge, nobody has actually ever been caught in the middle of a field trying to create these things, but who knows?
When will you get your first taste of the beer or ale?
Well, the malt is now in California, and it only takes a couple of weeks to turn malt into beer, so we're only now talking a number of days, and I very much look forward to that first taste.
Try and keep your feet on the ground.
Well, absolutely. It could assist my visit to California, of course, if I
yes, it could.
Stock up on the finished product.
Is that what you're going to do? Are you going to run over there?
I would certainly like to come over and see the brewery once the brand has been established, and just to give my maltster's opinion of the finished product.
Good. Well, good luck then.
Thank you very much indeed. Nice to have talked to you.
Goodbye, Mr. Garrett.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, that venture out in California was that's not the product that we're drinking today. The crop circle we're drinking today is brewed on Long Island. Evidently, the partnership with Wizard Brewery out there in California ran into some problems. They couldn't get label approval, and Dudley Cates brought the beer out to Long Island, much to our benefit, I think. From a beer lover's perspective, the interview there we listened to was focusing a lot on the crop circle angle, but from the beer perspective, I'm more interested in the beer than I am the crop circles, and the beer is what I'm more interested in.
Well, the problem is that no Crop Circle malt, right. No beer.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Actually, Dudley was telling us. I asked him if there was more Crop Circles being created in these fields, and he did say that yes, there were. So up to this day, Crop Circles are being made in the fields that. I think it was the same fields that
said approximately 100 miles west of London.
100 miles west, that's right. And so somehow these crop circles are appearing, and I have to say that being a scientist by profession, I'm a little skeptical of crop circles, but I'm not skeptical at all of the beer. The beer is excellent. So regardless of the origin of the malt and the context of its harvest, this is a fine beer. So
Blue Point should be saluted for taking.
Yeah,
on
actually,
the project.
Dudley was telling us that it is a collaboration between him and Mark Buford at the Blue Point Brewing Company. Dudley basically told Mark what he had in mind, and it was between the two of them they came up with a recipe for this beer. And Dudley Cates himself, he's not a brewer, but he has a vision of what a really good beer would be, and an idea for what is missing in the marketplace. And I think he's right. We were talking about beers today being, especially here in the United States, being overly hopped. This beer is a very malty beer that has a nice hop balance, and I think Dudley described it as chewy, and it is one of those beers that you almost could bite into. It has a lot of body, a lot of character, and it's really enjoyable. So. The next segment, we're going to move away now from the Crop Circle Ale, and last week, Rich and I and our friend Mike went out to Brooklyn, and we experienced a number of the places there. And last week on the show, I played the audio segments from the visit to the Brooklyn Brewery, and after that, we went to Mug's Ale House, and this is what it was like.
We walk down the street from the Brooklyn Brewery to Mug's, and we find ourselves sitting here in the back room, richly decorated, kind of this 1950s tin kind of relief stuff that's been painted over, and we are drinking beers, all except Mike, who has a problem in the sense that everything he orders is not available. I'm drinking a Saison DuPont because I figured, it's not going to be skunked if I ordered it at a beer bar in Brooklyn, and indeed, my guess is true. And Rich is over there drinking a Troubadour. We've decided it's not really a stout, even though that's what the board said. But I'm going to hand it over to Rich now, and he's going to tell you a little bit about Mug's also.
Hello. At Mug's, they have an interesting way of laying out their Scotch selection, which is unlike most bars, restaurants, or cafes that I've seen. In a simple order, alphabetical, according to name and year, going down from 10s to 12s, 15s, 21s. The prices are quite moderate. They have all the names, the big ones that you'd expect, such as Balvenie, Glenfiddich, Glenmorangie, Lafroge, Lagavulin, Macallan, and Talisker. This is a great list. It's a great list you could learn and teach from, as well as just sit back and enjoy all night.
Sitting here trying a J.W. Lee's Harvest Ale Vintage 1988. When first served, it was cold and couldn't really get past the sherry. It was a wonderful aroma of sherry, but the three of us, Rich, I, and Donovan, couldn't really taste past the sherry. As it warmed up, we heated it by a candle. The malts came through. There was a wonderful raisin. There was a plum that came through. and the malts themselves with a slightly roast came through. It's amazing, amazing drink. I highly recommend trying it if you get a chance.
Okay, so that was our trip into Mugs. Do you have any things to add to the commentary we played on the show here?
Well, something that's missing from the commentary is a good walk around the place, which had a great two or three foot. Why am I saying foot? It's story ceiling, a very tall ceiling as you walk in. It has a great airiness to it as soon as you walk into the place. And everything was neatly arranged. All the taps were, actually the taps were in alphabetical order, as all the scotch was. And the scotch was laid out behind the bar in the same way.
As a matter of fact, I remember you remarking about the order of the scotches.
Yeah, it was, and it was, there was an 8, 10, 12, 15, and it was in a numerical order as well, which was really helpful, so you don't have to guess where, you know, if they put the really top shelf, like the 15s and the 20s and the 30s, way in the back where you can't see them, because that's the really expensive stuff. Right. But nevertheless, it was right out there in front for everybody to see. I like to say that the food was pretty good there, too, and it was, let's say, moderately expensive.
Actually, Mugs, from what I hear, is one of the most economical places for a beer lover to go, because the beers aren't that expensive in comparison. In fact, we made we noticed that they had a Lefroy 30-year-old Scotch that was at $20 an ounce, which in my book is quite a buy.
Yeah, and we've experienced this in other places of Long Island where it was at least $35 for a pour. Into a, you know, basically a small shot glass. It was quite remarkable to see, and we thought, or tried to remember that we'd need to remind our local bartender of that particular fact.
Yeah, definitely. So if you're a beer lover and a scotch lover on a budget, Mugs is a pretty good destination. And like you said, the food was excellent and not that expensive. I think I had was it an emu burger or something? Or maybe ostrich meat or something.
Yeah, it was ostrich.
It was an ostrich burger that I had. It was only like $7. So that, you know, we're sitting in Brooklyn, for crying out loud, and drinking Saison Dupont and Troubadour and J.W. Lee's for not that expensive. So.
Yeah, we escaped for a very small sum.
Yeah, it was definitely worth it. And we'll in the future, in coming installments, we'll be bringing you more about these Brooklyn destinations. But we'll move right along today into more beer mixology. As you all know, I've been talking about beer cocktails for the last few weeks. I write each week a column for the Spirit World, and what I do there is talk about beer cocktails. And I was trying to come up with something original, something that I hadn't seen anywhere. I've been, you know, collecting a lot of beer cocktails from recipes from various sources around the internet and books I have, and I wanted to come up with something that was uniquely Long Island. Long Island is famous for its Long Island iced tea. So I thought, well, why doesn't Long Island have another drink? So I invented a Long Island Sunrise. And this is what we had to say about the Long Island Sunrise.
One of my favorite morning drinks is a mixture of pineapple juice, orange juice, and non-alcoholic grenadine. I basically fill it up with San Pellegrino sparkling water. So it's essentially a quarter glass of pineapple juice, a quarter glass of orange juice. San Pellegrino tops it off with a splash of the grenadine going in, and it looks exactly like a tequila sunrise. It's got the red on the bottom and the orange coming up on top. And I like these. It's a very flavorful drink, and when you get down to the bottom, you get the sweetness of the grenadine. And I thought, why not make a beer cocktail out of that? Initially, I was going to call it a resulting beer cocktail, a Long Island Sunrise, but whenever I replaced the San Pellegrino with Blue Point Toasted Lager, the whole mixture became dark-colored, like a stormy sunrise, and the flavor was finessed more toward the bitter end. It was less sweet, of course, because it's resulting from the flavor of the toasted lager mixing with the sweeter flavors of the fruits. The way it looked, though, was very beautiful. This particular drink was red on the bottom, and then turned into this dark orange, yellowish, almost a turbid mixture on top. So it's not a sunrise. Denise was saying maybe a sunset, but as we all know, sunsets on Long Island are over Manhattan. So it turned out really well. I was really pleased, and I'll just have to come up with a name.
Now, Rich was frantically waving his hands while we were listening to that pre-recorded segment. So could you share with everybody what's on your mind, Rich?
Well, I was a bartender at a party back in the early 90s for a graduation party on Lloyd Harbor for a bunch of girls that had graduated from Trinity University. And I was the only bartender, and apparently everybody at the party, all 60 guests, were staying over that night, and I was the only one who was going to leave. They had a particular drink that they wanted me to make called a scrum, named after the rugby play, and which was a combination of orange juice, pineapple juice, ginger ale, and Mount Gay dark rum, and over ice with a slice of orange on it. And I made that all night, and they had several cases of magnums of Mount Gay and tons of everything. I poured and poured and poured and poured, and eventually ran out of some of the ingredients. So we just, no more orange juice. Oh, well, you're going to have the pineapple juice, and kept on going until everybody fell over.
It sounds like a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time, and then I left, and it was that was the last party that I made it at. But I intend to. I enjoyed that at home every now and then, and yeah. told other people how to make it.
Right.
It was. But was when you talked about putting toasted lager in with the juices, I can imagine that was there must have been some sort of turning or something that was negative about that.
Well, one of the reasons why I decided to go with the toasted lager is that one of my ideas is that these are possibly cocktails that you could go and order at any of your pubs here on Long Island, and just about every pub that I go into has a toasted lager tap, and so I'm trying to invent some drinks that might be interesting to people who claim that they're not beer people. That involve using Long Island beer. So that was my idea.
Okay, well, we'll have to keep working on that one.
Well, you haven't tasted it yet, Rich.
So. I can just imagine.
It looks pretty nice, though. I have some comments that I pre-recorded also about these cocktails. I'll play that, and then we'll round out the show. So.
One thing to think about when you're making beer cocktails is that when you're using fruit juice, the fruit juice will tend to dominate the flavor. The beer will be masked. The only thing that will really come through, you're basically covering up the sweetness of the beer and leaving behind the bitterness. And the drinks that don't have the fruit juice will have more of the beer flavor, more of the sweetness from the beer, because that's where it's getting the sweetness. And the sweetness will come from your liqueurs that you're putting in the mixes rather than from the juices, and you're using the hops in the beer to balance out that sweetness.
Well, next week we're going to be doing the 6-Point Craft Ales Tour, which Rich and I, along with Mike, went on. But that rounds out today's show. I want to thank Rich Thatcher for coming and doing the show with me today. That's all for the Daily Catch. I'm Donovan Hall, and you can contact me by using the links on my website. That's donovanhall.net, DonovanHall.net. Or you can send me an email at donovanhall@gmail.com. Daily Catch is a production of Angler Radio, and the theme music is composed by Jonah Dempsey, and you can listen to more of his music at revolutionvoid.com. Now you have a great day, and thanks for listening. And remember, drink the beer in the glass.